hockey, 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5 is brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Check out the local produce, meat, and baked goods brought up fresh from Co-op's farm team.
Let's welcome you back to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Pat Steinberg along with you here as we get set for the Flames and the Dallas Stars. It's an 8 o'clock start here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is the final home game for Calgary before a five-game road trip. Two more home games in the regular season after this. As for the Calgary Hitmen, they've got the Scotiabank Saddle Dome this weekend, Friday and Sunday, for game 1 and 2 of their first-round series with the Kootenay Ice. A 7 o'clock face-off on Friday, a 4 o'clock face-off on Sunday. Calgary and Kootenay for a second year consecutively in round one. As we continue getting you set for the 2015 Western Hockey League postseason, very happy to welcome in our next guest. 15 goals and 65 points in 67 games this year to lead Western League defensemen in scoring. Today named a Western League first team All-Star, a first-round pick of the Philadelphia Flyers, and a very important member of the Calgary Hitmen, defenseman Travis Sanheim joins us right now. Travis, thanks so much for doing this, man. How are you?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing very well and looking forward to Friday and Sunday, but clearly not as much as you are. Just, I guess, tell me about the team's mood. You're just a few days away from puck drop in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we're all getting really excited for the two games this weekend, especially being at home, and the last few home games we've gotten really good crowds, and I think the guys are excited and looking forward to the weekend and getting the playoffs started.
Give me your overall thoughts on 72 games in the regular season, Travis, and your synopsis of the season.
Yeah, I think as a group we've grown the whole season. Maybe started off a little slow and had high hopes at the start of the year. I think this second half is kind of where we took off as a group and came together. And, we had that 17-day road trip, and I think we really grew as a team and had a good stretch there in the second half and leading into playoffs here.
So you really do feel like that long stretch on the road kind of did help the team grow?
Yeah, I think so. I think this kind of a road trip where it was make or break us, and I thought we handled it very well, and all the guys came through, and every night we needed somebody new to step up, and it seemed like we got that throughout the road trip, and we came through with pretty clutch wins, considering we were battling for a division title, and it came down right to the wire there Sunday night, and we ended up clinching the division.
Why do you think the season progressed the way it did? It was a bit of a slow start, admittedly, by you, but the growth of this team, I guess, how come the slow start and how come the steady progression to where you are now?
I think just, a lot of new guys. We got a pretty young team and getting to know everyone and the style of game. And, we had a new coach, Mark came in instead of the year, and just new systems and stuff like that. And, I think we just, everybody, slowly came together and we, we worked it out as a group. And, we've got four lines deep and that's what you need when you want to go on a playoff run. And I think we got that as a group. And we know that every single night we're going to need all four lines and everyone's going to need to produce and help this team win.
He is Travis Sanheim of the Calgary Hitmen. Hey, tell me a little bit about Mark French, a new coach for you, but how would you describe your head coach?
He's been phenomenal this year. He's been a really good coach, not only for me, but the whole group. And, he's a smart guy and knows the game extremely well. And, I've learned, a ton from him this year, and, I'm sure a lot of other guys have as well.
He talked about the adjustment period from his side, and you kind of just talked about it a little bit there, but what are the adjustments that have to go on from a player's perspective to a new coach?
Well, I think definitely to start it all off is systems and the way a guy, handles the team and coaches and all different stuff like that. But, it's been very well. He's been, tremendous for us, and, we haven't had any problems at all. And, it's been a good transition from last year to this year.
With Travis Sanheim of the Calgary Hitmen, tell me about the way you end the season. three consecutive wins. You have the opportunity there after the loss to Red Deer to, you know what, if we win our final three games, we clinch the Central Division, doesn't matter what anybody else does, and what do? You win your final three games. Just the idea that you're going into the postseason hot as Central Division champions, how important is that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that loss against Red Deer, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, definitely left us, you know, a little like we needed to pick it up, and we wanted to finish the season strong, and it kind of motivated us. And you know, we ended up getting to play Red Deer again, you know, the following week, and we took advantage of that, and you know, won that game, and then went on to beat Kootenay twice the last weekend there, and you know, won the division. And you know, I think for us it was nice that we got to control the fate, and if we won those final three games, you know, we did win the division, and so that kind of motivated us and pushed us, and you know, I think we came together as a group and you know, decided that, you know, we wanted that division.
In your experience, is it important to be on a roll going into the postseason, or does momentum get overplayed once you get to the playoffs? What's your view on that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know necessarily if it's you know, going on a streak, but I think just as a group, if you're, you know, ending the season on a good note and coming together, and, you know, you'll want to be on the top of your game when the season ends and moving into playoffs. And I think for us, we've accomplished that. We've been growing as a group, like I said, all season long, and just seems to, you know, keep getting better and better. And, you know, the way we ended off the season, you know, we ended off on a high note.
What about the concept of playing the Kootenay Ice again? So you play them your final two games of the regular season. They're in your division. You play them all the time. And now you've got at least four games with them in the postseason. Does that change the dynamic of this series at all, knowing that you just saw them for two games to end the regular season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, we're going to, you know, take advantage of those two games that we won and you know, hopefully continue on with some momentum, you know, from those games. And you know, we've seen them lots, you know, throughout our year, and you know, it's going to be a rival, or, you know, it's a rival of ours, and it's going to be a battle come you know, Friday night, and when that puck drops, and the whole series, you know, we're not going to get it for free. We're going to have to earn everything that you know, we get, and it's going to be a tight series, and, you know, I think everyone's looking forward to it.
Is last year forgotten, or do you want to have that in your back pocket as motivation?
Yeah, I think for, you know, a lot of us, you know, like I said, we, you know, it's a different team, and you know, we're kind of, you know, forgot about the past and more worried about this season and what it has to bring, and it's a new group of guys, and, you know, we got a lot to you know, push for in this postseason, and you know, we're not really too concerned you know, about what happened last year, and more worried about the outcome this season.
He is Travis Sanheim of the Calgary Hitmen, joins us here on the Flames at 5 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, congratulations. You're a first-team All-Star in the Western Hockey League, and I know that doesn't mean a ton to you, and team stuff is far more important, but just how do you sum up your entire season individually, a 65-point season for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, it's been a pretty good season. You know, obviously coming back from you know, Philadelphia camp, I wanted to have a really strong season this season, and coming off last season, you know, the second half that I had, you know, I wanted to prove everyone that it you know, wasn't a fluke, and that there was more to come, and you know, I think I've done that, and, you know, made my game, you know, a lot better and more of a two-way game, and you know, made it so that you know, I can be relied upon in both ends, and you know, I still got a lot to work on, obviously, to get to the next level, and you know, that's a goal of mine. But right now, I'm focusing on the playoffs and going in a deep run with Calgary, and it's gonna be fun. You know, we got a good group of guys, and it you know, hopefully we can come together and push through, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Having fun playing with your brother on the team too.
Yeah, it's been incredible. You know, playing with him my whole life and having him back playing with me, you know, I couldn't have, you know, asked for anything better. And, you know, we play better together, and, you know, it's a lot more fun having him on my team than playing against him. So I couldn't be happier.
You mentioned going to camp with Philadelphia and your first NHL camp. How much does that change this season for you? what do you take out of your first camp with Philadelphia that, that has helped you through this season?
Yeah, it was a really great experience for me, and you know, I was lucky enough to play in, you know, an exhibition game, and got to, you know, meet with a lot of the guys, you know, that are playing with Philadelphia, and just see how they prepare, and you know, the leadership that those guys bring, and just helping me out along the way. And you know, that's something that coming back to Calgary, you know, I knew this year was going to be, you know, a new role, and I wanted to be more of a guy that was, you know, a leader on the back end. And you know, we had a young D corps, and so I think just taking on new roles and coming back to Calgary, and you know, playing different types of roles that were given to me on the ice, and taking advantage of it.
And you got an opportunity to get some face time in with the Flyers when they were here last week, right?
Yeah, they played last week, last Thursday, and you know, it was too bad we headed off to Cranbrook right after their morning skate, but I was able to you know, catch their morning skate and meet with all the guys and say hi and see how things were going with them, and vice versa with them as well. So it was really good to meet with them, and for them to take their time out of their day to meet with me as well.
Well, Travis, congratulations on the great regular season. Congratulations on the honor of first-team All-Star in the Western Hockey League. But most importantly, enjoy the postseason, and good luck starting on Friday. Thank you so much for spending some time this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
He is Travis Sanheim of the Calgary Hitmen. 15 goals, 65 points in 67 games in his season with the Calgary Hitmen. And man, was it... We weren't even sure how it was going to go. Like, we were pretty sure he was going to be with the team, and we were pretty sure he was going to rejoin them. But, you know, a lot of people wondered. You know, he was at camp with the Flyers, and then he comes back, and it just continued to take off. And as he said, he wanted to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. And, you know, you talk to Peter Laborteus, for instance, a guy who's a big fan of his. You know, a guy like Lubo would say that, no, there's no way last year was a fluke. But maybe there was that thought by others. And certainly by what he's done this year, it's definitely not a fluke, and the Flyers look to have a pretty darn good prospect on their hands. He was picked in the first round last year when the draft happened to be in Philadelphia. So thanks so much to Joanna and the Calgary Hitmen for setting that up. Thanks to Travis Sanheim. He's going to have to be a big part of that Hitmen attack as they get set to take on the Kootenay Ice Friday night, game one of their series, 7 o'clock faceoff here on it's actually here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Won't be on the radio. We'll be online, sportsnet.ca/960 with Brad Curl and Ken Thrower. Don't forget, Boomer and Warner's Man Cave is back. Your prizes include a 60-inch Samsung Smart Class flat-screen TV from Total Concept AV and Automation, and two leather recliners from Birchwood Furniture Galleries. Plus, the boys are coming to broadcast from your man cave as Boomer and Warner will bring their award-winning morning show to your home. Even without the prizes, that's a pretty good prize. But you get the TV and the recliners on top of that. It's for fan club members only at sportsnet.ca/960. And it is open now, so fire off your entry. You could be winning Boomer and Warner's Man Cave. Thanks to Travis Sanheim. Flames at 5 continues around the corner as we focus back in on Flames game day. You're locked on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than... Then coming our way, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5 is brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Grab tickets to the next Flames home game at Calgary Co-op. Second level tickets start at $39.95 plus tax.
Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Flames at 5 brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the BBB Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014.
Welcome back to the program. It is Flames game day. It's part of the Flames at 5, the third-to-last home game of the season. And a five-game road trip follows tonight. The Flames take on the Dallas Stars. Note the start time, 8 o'clock on television on Sportsnet 1. And, of course, right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calling the game here on the radio will be Derek Wills, who joins us right now as part of the Flames at 5. And, you know, almost an identical situation for the Flames tonight as two nights ago. They take on a team that is on the fringe of the playoff race. They take on a team that is 6 points behind them and 8 points back of the final wild wild card spot. And as you said on Monday night, you know, you brought your two nails and your hammer. Well, they've finished one job, and they've slammed the coffin and sealed the coffin of the Colorado Avalanche. Slightly morbid imagery, I know. But they've got the ability to do the same thing with the Dallas Stars tonight. Can completely, in a lot of ways, end their season if they beat them in regulation here.
Yes, they certainly can. And the Stars, if they win this game, are still in the race. I mean, they're going to be 6 points out of a wild card spot, but only 4 points behind the Flames if they win in regulation time tonight. So if you're in that Stars dressing room, there has to be some belief that you've still got a chance, even if it's an outside chance, to qualify for postseason play. And you also have to believe that if you do get in, you have a chance to make some noise. This is a team with a lot of high-end skill. They've got a goaltender that's maybe not having the best season statistically, but has certainly done it over the years and has done a great job winning hockey games this season.
Yeah, wins and losses aren't the problem, but it's the save percentage isn't great, but he's picked up the wins, Kari Lehtinen has.
Exactly, and at the end of the day, that's what matters the most, and he's playing some of his best hockey of late. If you look at what Lehtinen's done lately, he started seven straight games, going 6-1-0 with a shutout, a 1.71 goals against average, and a .932 save percentage.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crunch time for the Stars, but they're still in this race, but hanging on by a thread.
Imagine like just how bad the backup goaltending has been for them this year. Like if Kari Lehtinen's numbers are playoff-like in terms of a number one, but even just a somewhat competent backup this year, and they might be where the Flames are.
Well, and that's why they went out and got Jonas Enroth, and they picked him up in exchange for Anders Lindback and a third-round pick, a conditional one in 2016 from the Sabres back on February 11th. But they've really been leaning on Lehtinen. He's been their clear number one guy, and they're going to ride him until the end of the season and see where their number one goaltender will take them.
This is a dangerous team, you're right. 135 points combined for Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Ben's got 6 points in his last three games, 23 in his last 20. I mean, this is a very dynamic duo, and we were all kind of hoping that that nagging injury, maybe if there's going to be one game to miss, maybe it's tonight, Jamie Benn. Unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, we all kind of ran out to the ice to watch the Stars morning skate to see if number 14 would be out there, and he looked just fine, and we knew as soon as we saw him that he was going to be participating in this game. Now, with that said, Trevor Daly looked like he was fine as well. Daly's having a career year, but after the morning skate, we were told by Lindy Ruff, the Stars head coach, that Daly will likely play on this road trip, but will not play tonight. So that's certainly good news for Flames and Flames fans as well.
Yeah, Daly will miss his 10th consecutive game with a knee injury. Ben is good to go. 8 o'clock faceoff. From a Flames standpoint, another bad night on the out-of-town scoreboard. This is not at any point going to be comfortable for him. I think that the last couple of nights have proven just that. You know, yes, take care of your business and all of that, but I think that the final nine games are all going to kind of be in the same vein. There's going to be a lot of nail biting and a lot of white knuckles until the end of the season.
Yeah, and I give our broadcast partner, Peter Labardius, a lot of credit because the first time we went into Winnipeg, now this is in the first month of the season, he said to me, I think the game here on April 11th is going to mean something. And I think he's right. I think it comes down to either that game or the game before that game for the Flames against the Kings, who come from behind and beat one of the best teams in the National Hockey League last night, the Rangers. And they made it look awfully easy falling behind 1-0. Then you've got the Wild. They come from behind to win last night. Now, I couldn't figure out who I wanted to win that game between the Jets and the Canucks. And at first I thought, okay, I think I want the Jets to win.
That's where I fell in.
Yeah, because Jets. I think the Canucks are still vulnerable. And if you can catch them and finish second in the division, or even finish third, and they fall out, then I think it gives you more doors to go through to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing for the Flames was that that game ended in regulation time. And that was a heck of a comeback for the Canucks last night, down 2-0. They score 5 unanswered and beat a very good Jets team. And the more I watched the Jets, I know this is going to sound strange. I watched them last night, and they were obviously very good in the first half of the game, not so good in the second half. But the more I watched them, the more I like them. And the more I think that they're a lot like some of the big, heavy teams that we've seen so often this season in the Western Conference, the Kings and the Ducks, teams like that that can really wear you down. The Blues, they can wear you down in a game, let alone in a best-of-seven series. So, again, the Jets are one of those teams. They're getting better, and when they get healthy, they're going to be a handful.
Tonight for the Flames, no changes lineup-wise. It's Kari Rommel gets his fourth consecutive start. The only real change is they've put Backlund back with Jones and Bulma. Granlund's going to play with Juris and Colburn. But same lineup, and why not? I thought Monday was a pretty solid 60-minute effort.
I would agree. And really, the Flames have three lines that can do some damage offensively right now. And even on Monday, in that game against the Avalanche, we saw the number two and three centermen moving around a little bit. You saw the newly formed line with Marcus Granlund between David Jones and Lance Bulma, but then you also saw Michael Backlund, who was centering that line for weeks.
He played there too.
Play between them a little bit. So not surprised to see Bob Hartley go back to that combination. Secondary scoring has been so important for the Flames this season. Now, with that said, their number one line has been just terrific. Yuri Hudler is actually the top point producer in the National Hockey League in the month of March. He has 17 points so far this month. And then his two line mates, Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, are tied for seventh in the league in points so far in the month of March. So that top line has been fantastic. And they're probably going to have a big game tonight against a Stars team that's got, what, I'd say at least three elite players on their squad.
They've got the ability to score. And yeah, Spezza, Sagan, Ben. And I mean, Nikushkin's close to coming back. He's been sent to Austin on a conditioning stint, but isn't ready to play yet. But I mean, they really like Klingberg. They really like Jukka Pekka on the back end. And there's a team that's certainly can burn you if you're not careful. And this is one of those games where I think it's so important for the Flames to make sure it's all about their details. If their details are okay, then, you know, they've got a pretty decent chance of winning this game, but if they even start to skirt him a little bit, there's a Dallas team that can absolutely make you pay.
And again, sad to see Jamie Benn in the lineup, although from the perspective of a hockey fan, you're happy to see him out there. He's one of the best players in the game. Maybe we're not making enough of Trevor Daley being out tonight. What a season he's having, Pat. He scored 16 goals this year, seven more than he's had in any of his previous nine National Hockey League seasons. So the fact that he's out, he's going to miss his 10th straight game with a knee injury tonight. Big for the Flames. But one guy in the back end who's done a really good job for the Stars this season, Alex Goligoski's, has 34 points.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of guys that can do some damage offensively. And I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. Both teams have some skill. Talking to a former member of the Stars, one of the newest members of the Flames,
Mr.
David
Schlemko,
he thinks the style the Stars play is very similar to the style the Flames play. So we're not going to have contrasting styles here tonight. We're going to have two teams that like to activate their defense and play an up-tempo game, and I think it should be a lot of fun.
Two teams that need points tonight, Calgary and Dallas, 8 o'clock. We're on the air at 7 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. So this time, an hour and 20 minutes before we're on the air together again instead of 20 minutes like Monday.
Yeah.
Makes a little bit more sense that way.
Are you in a rush to get out of here?
Not really.
Digging through some stats today, and this is something we talked about when Mark Giordano was injured. In the first six games without their captain and their best player, the Flames gave up a lot of shots. Remember we talked about that? They were giving up more than 10 shots per game more than when they had been with him in the lineup. Well, I think they've adjusted to life without number five a little bit, because they surrendered 30-plus shots in the first six games without Giordano, but 30 or fewer shots in the last six games without their captain, and there's more than a 10-shot-per-game difference. During the first six games, they gave up 37.0 shots per game. In the last six, 26.7. So the Flames deserve a lot of credit for adjusting to life without Mark Giordano, to tightening things up defensively. We've talked a lot about the number one combination of Chris Russell and Dennis Wiedemann, but I really think that TJ Brody's found his game again, and Derek Englund's been really, really good, and he's probably had to play a bigger role in comparison to what he was playing prior to Giordano's injury than anybody else. So give credit to the Flames whole group for that number.
Yeah, and important, because that's going to have to continue to be the norm tonight, the final nine games, and they can keep that going. You know, we might be talking about them in a postseason spot when it's all said and done. Have yourself a wonderful next 80 minutes.
Well, I don't know what to do with myself. It's been a long day. These 8 o'clock starts are...
I feel like I've been here since Tuesday.
Well, you have been.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Bye, buddy.
Thanks, Patty.
He's Derek Wills. He's the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames. This is the Flames at 5, and we're taking a look at some potential playoff matchups next, but we're doing it from an analytical standpoint. It's some hockey abstract with Rob Volman next on the Flames at 5. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talk to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960. Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the BBB Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014.
Welcome back to the Scotiabank Saddledome. Pat Steinberg along with you and finishing off the program by going a little hockey abstract as Rob Volman joins us. And I would absolutely encourage you to go check out Rob's latest work at ESPN.com because it's, first of all, there's some Flames implications in it and some Flames thoughts on it. But also it's just really cool because we're getting up on postseason time and really fun to kind of take a look at an analytical perspective at some of these potential playoff matchups. Rob, how are you, my friend? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Pat. How have you been?
Doing well, man, doing well. And you know, I was reading the article today and, you know, kind of looking at some of these potential matchups and, you know, who might be in good shape analytically, who might not be. And let's start with the Flames because if they do make the playoffs, there's any number of teams they could play in round one. Chicago, St. Louis, Anaheim, Vancouver, Nashville, all up in the air as to who they might play. But one possible matchup in particular sticks out to you, and not in a good way, right?
No, not at all. And that's taking on the mighty Chicago Blackhawks, which, of course, is the last team they faced in the playoffs back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And Chicago, the reason that particular matchup frightens me a little bit more than the others is Chicago is one of the better possession teams, and you know how much I've touted the importance of possession. They're also the most experienced playoff team. If you add up the games played and the points of their roster, they are the most experienced playoff team right now, whereas the Flames are just ahead of Winnipeg as the least experienced, playoff-bound team, if you believe in the value of experience there. And, across the board, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks really have an edge. Even on faceoffs, Chicago's around 52-some percent, and Calgary's more at 47-48%. So that's one matchup that worries me of all the potential outcomes.
I'm really curious because on the other side of the country, the Ottawa Senators, the Flames have kind of been the feel-good story out west. The Senators, the feel-good story out east. And if they get in, there's a very possible chance they play the Tampa Bay Lightning in round one. And you know, you're not liking that matchup for the feel-good Sens either, are you?
No, and I've got a little bit of history with Ottawa. I mean, I'm originally from Ottawa. And in my first book, I really, I guess you could say, overrated them and overestimated how well they would do. So on one hand, it is a little bit redemptive to actually see them in the playoff mix. But on the other hand, Tampa Bay is absolutely the wrong opponent for them to run into. And the best example I use is just look at the blue lines. Now, on the trade deadline, Tampa Bay picked up Braden Coburn, solid top four defenseman in Philadelphia. And they already had Victor Hedman and Anton Strahlman and Jay Garrison and Matthew Carley. Pretty much the best free agent pickups on the blue line over the years have all gone to Tampa Bay. So they added Braden Coburn to a blue line that was already quite stacked. Whereas when you look at Ottawa's blue line, it's really night and day. You have Erik Karlsson. I mean, he may not be the best defensive guy, but he's certainly a very good defenseman. He's won the Norris before. He plays 27, 28 minutes a game or more. But then look at the rest of that blue line. Cody Ceci and Eric Grieba and Chris Phillips. It just doesn't stack up against Tampa Bay. And I'm really wondering how they're going to contain that multi-layered Tampa Bay offense.
From HockeyAbstract.com, Rob Volman joining us. It is Hockey Abstract as part of the Flames at 5 here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Very possibly getting sent for a Detroit-Montreal round one. Who has the advantage if that's the case?
oh, Detroit. I think a lot of people have taken Detroit for granted. They think they're too old. They think the loss of Nicklas Lidström was too great a couple of years ago. But they, Zetterberg and Datsyuk are still dominant, and they still have those young players, because they're so good at developing the young players. They have this great generation of young talent. And if you look at Montreal, I noticed that their record recently against non-playoff teams is quite exceptional. It's almost unbeatable. But their record against playoff-bound teams over the last couple months is pretty much 500 at best. And the reason why, in my theory on that, the reason why is they're not really as good a team. They're just getting bailed out, I guess you could say, by the amazing Vezina Hart Trophy performance of Carey Price this year. They've got that great outer layer of players. They've got the great goalie. They've got a great top pairing in PK Subban and Andre Markov. And their top six is certainly one of the more impressive collection of top six forwards among playoff teams. But then beyond that, they just don't have that depth. They remind me a lot of Colorado in that particular sense last year, where their top lines did fine, but they really got manhandled when those guys were catching their breath. And Detroit, I think, is just the sort of team that has the depth to take full advantage of Montreal's weakness.
Back to the Western Conference, and the Winnipeg Jets have been a really fun story, a very resilient group this year with all the injuries they've battled through. Winnipeg, if they make it in, is going to be a wild card team, and if so, they very likely would be facing the Anaheim Ducks, depending on how things go. There's a pretty big gap in the standings between those two teams, but if Winnipeg and Anaheim meet in the first round of the playoffs, how much of a gap is there on the ice in your eyes?
Actually, I think these two teams match up quite evenly. If anything, I think Winnipeg has the edge. Winnipeg's a better possession team. They have a better goal differential. They have a much better power play. They got a better penalty kill. And lately, their goaltending has been better, too. Really, if you compare them line by line by line, Winnipeg strikes me as the superior team. The only reason Anaheim is way ahead in the standings is they've got an insane record in one-goal games. They're essentially unbeatable in those one-goal games, whether it's an overtime or shootout or regulation time, whereas Winnipeg is a little more average in that regard. And the reason we shouldn't get excited about Anaheim having that great close-game record is last year, the team with the great one-goal record was once again Colorado. And they also got swept aside by a wild-card team. And, of course, we saw them struggle this year. Now, of course, I know Anaheim and Colorado are much different teams, but the point is, that close game record, that skill to win those one-goal games, isn't necessarily one that you can predict is going to continue into the playoffs.
Well, and doesn't necessarily, like, close game skill isn't necessarily something that exists, right? That's something that, you know, in the analytics community, you're kind of like, it's good that they're winning all those close games, but there's nothing really to quantify a team playing better when they in one-goal games, and it doesn't necessarily exist, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, what takes more skill? Winning a one-goal game or winning it by two? Well, obviously it takes more skill to beat a team by two goals. So if Anaheim is so good that they can win all these one-goal games, then why aren't they good enough to win two-goal games and three-goal games? Or why are they in so many one-goal games to begin with if they're so good?
Yeah, I really like the way you phrase that. And that kind of leads me, interestingly, into the last question today. And, I mean, I'm as big a believer in possession numbers as there is and have been for a number of years now. And I think they're a very important metric to look at. And, you know, the team that's kind of defying things on the other side, you know, Calgary's defied the possession numbers and had a lot of on-ice success this year. Last year it was Colorado. Minnesota and Dallas and Toronto have done it in years past. But on the other way, it's been the LA Kings this year. They're the number one possession team in the National Hockey League, and yet on the outside looking in for the postseason. Now, nothing to say they won't make the playoffs. They could very well still make the playoffs, but it's been a little bit of a struggle for the teams, for the NHL's number one possession team. How come in your eyes?
Well, you're absolutely right. LA has been one of the best possession teams both this year and over the past several years, and you're right. There's always one or two teams that are really good possession teams that missed the playoffs. New Jersey was a good example of that the year after they went to the Cup final. And in order for a team to do really well possession-wise and yet not make the playoffs and struggle, quite a few things have to go wrong. For instance, they have to lose a lot of close games. They got to lose a lot of overtime shootout games. They have to maybe give up a lot more dangerous shots. They have to get outshot in terms of shooting percentages and save percentages by their opponents.
Right.
And when it comes to Los Angeles, I look squarely at that blue line. Last year, they had Slavovoynov and Willie Mitchell playing a lot of those minutes behind Drew Doughty, of course, right? Both those players are gone. Mitchell went to Florida, and of course, we know what happened to Voynov. So who replaced them on that blue line? And if you look at all the minutes, until they picked up Andre Sequeira, those minutes were picked up by almost fringe NHLers and third-pairing guys that are normally available on waivers. And that's a big step down to take on that blue line. So that's one of the reasons why I think picking up Andre Sequeira at the trade deadline was one of the shrewdest, and I think will be one of the most effective trade deadline acquisitions.
The website is hockeyabstract.com. His name is Rob Volman. Every Wednesday here on the Flames at 5. Rob, a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thanks so much for doing it.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
And we'll do Rob Volman again on Wednesday as part of Hockey Abstract when Robbie's back in this chair a week's time. But, those playoff matchups, very, very interesting, and really enjoyed breaking those down from a more analytical perspective. So thanks to Rob Volman. Thanks to everybody else who joined us in the program today. For our outstanding producer, Will Nault, my name is Pat Steinberg. We'll break for an hour for primetime sports, and we're back at 7 o'clock with Flames warm-up. Calgary and the Dallas Stars from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome tonight. You're live. Locked on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary, you love hockey, and so do we. It's right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Proud home of the National Hockey League.